And before I get started on that, I just wanted to say as a special note, just thank you for all the people that helped with our worship services this morning. Nikki, what a wonderful lesson that you prepared. And JL, thank you for the song that you prepared. I know that JL came last week to service here, and he had just gotten off the airplane from the Philippines late Saturday night and came to church Sunday morning. And then this week he blessed us with a song that he wrote. And I just want to say that if you guys have something you want to share, maybe you have a lesson for the children, or maybe you want to help out with worship or whatever, if you're waiting to be asked, right, if you're waiting for the pastor to come ask you, I just want to encourage you, don't wait. Just get involved. Come and ask. We would love for you to come and participate in worship with us in whatever way the Holy Spirit leads and guides you. So, with that said, we're going to go ahead and turn our attention toward our sermon, which is blessed by the measure of your giving. And we're going to do a quick review. We are, this is, I think, our fourth sermon in this series. And so we have some points that we've established, and we're just going to review them real quickly. So the first one that we're going to look at, or the first one that we did look at, was Deuteronomy 16, 17. And that one says, everyone is give according to their blessing. And so you guys repeat that after I say the scripture reference. Deuteronomy 16, 17. Oh, I think we can do better. Deuteronomy 16, 17. Okay, Allie, that was great. I loved the fervor, but you were saying the wrong things. All right, I'm going to say Deuteronomy 16, 17. You guys say, everyone give according to their blessing. Let's do it one more time. Deuteronomy 16, 17. Very good. All right, 2 Samuel 24, 24. Yes, give from my own resources. Let's try that one more time. 2 Samuel 24, 24.
Give from my own resources.
All right, let's get the next one up there. Matthew 5, 23 and 24. Very good. And Matthew 6:3. And remember that that is not just a desire to worship God, but it means that we're giving to others not for the praise of man, right? We're doing it because we want God to be pleased with our activities. And that's where it says, don't let the left hand know what the right hand is doing, right? Because our purpose in giving is to honor our Lord and Savior, to honor our Maker. All right, Matthew 5:42. We lost a lot of people there. All right, let's try that one more time. Matthew 5:42. Yes, very good. And this is not just your friends, right? Give out of a genuine love for others who love you. No, it's give out of a genuine love for all people. We're not doing it to get something in return. This is where Jesus says to love our enemies, right? Go beyond what is required. Do things to help other people out of a genuine love for them. What is it that this person really needs? Go and meet that need. Don't just give them maybe what they're asking, which is maybe part of the need. Okay, Matthew 10, 8. Give freely. Right? We have received what we did not deserve, which is our salvation. It was given to us freely, and we should in turn have an attitude of, I want to give. I want to have that same attitude. As I have been given, I want to give to others. And we talked last week about being prepared to give, right? Even being deciding to give even before the opportunity presents itself. We talked about maybe an idea of setting aside some money each day of or each week, right? And just putting that in your billfold or in your purse and saying, I've already given away this $20 or whatever. And then the rest of the week, you're just looking for who is the person that God wants me to give this money to, right? And so that way, when the opportunity presents itself, you don't have to, oh, should I do it? Should I not? Should I do it? Should I not? Right? We play that game. And once we've already decided, now we're just looking for the opportunity to give. Okay. Today we are going to be looking at two more verses. These two are going to be in Luke. The first one is Luke chapter 6, verse 38. It says, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And if you look at the context here, this is Matthew's version of the Sermon on the Mount. Luke 6 is kind of Matthew's summary of what, or I'm sorry, Luke's summary of what Matthew took three chapters to do. Luke takes one, or maybe even part of one, but and so you kind of know the context here. But Luke is talking about what is our purpose for living. What is the purpose for which we are living our lives? And if we think about it, our life is to be marked by a service to God, not self. Right? So much of our time we serve our own interests, right? We're hungry. We need food. Does that take time to prepare food every day? Three meals a day? Yeah. You know, one of the things that I saw when I went over to Africa, they don't use microwaves over there, right? Sometimes preparing a meal takes most of the day, right? We have crock pots. We sit in the crock pot. It might take all day, but how much attention does it take? You know, not a lot of our attention. But sometimes it, you know, when we were doing our workshops over there and they were preparing meals for 100 people, you know, it took all morning to get that ready to go. You know, slaughter the chickens and all that sort of stuff. I don't know if they slaughtered the chickens that morning. It wouldn't surprise me, but they might have slaughtered them the day before. I don't know. But the point is that a lot of our life is about serving our own needs or the needs of our family. And we have to keep in mind that the purpose of our life is not just to fulfill our desires. The purpose of our life is to serve God. And if we look at the context of this passage in verse 27, Jesus is talking about loving your enemies. Verse 32, he asks the question that we kind of looked at last week, what credit is it if you just love those who love you, right? It's not really much credit at all. You're just like everybody else. Then Jesus tells us to love our enemies. And in verse 35, he says that God is going to reward us if we love our enemies. Verse 36, he challenges us to be merciful because the Father is merciful. Verse 40, it says a disciple should act like the teacher. Verse 42, it says don't be a hypocrite. Verse 44, he's talking about that every tree is known by its fruit. And then verse 45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. Let's look at that passage. It says, for a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. Out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Right? We just saw the example of a sponge. You soak things up, right? And you store them in your heart. And pressure comes and it squeezes those things out. And what comes out? Right? Out of the heart, the man speaks. What did Jesus say defiles a man? Is it what we put into our mouth? No. It's what comes out of our mouth, because what does it do? It reveals our heart. And here, this passage says, out of the good treasure of his heart that a man brings forth good. What is it that your heart treasures? I was reading an illustration, and they were talking about how, look at what you're talking about. Because when you treasure something, right, it won't be very long and you'll start talking about it, right? Because you got to. It's what you're thinking about. It's what you're interested in, right? And so you can look, you can hear, what does a person talk about frequently, right? And that's probably what their heart treasures, right? If somebody's always talking about the NFL and their latest team, and, oh, man, my Chiefs, man, they're doing so great, right? Well, that's what they treasure, right? I had a friend growing up in Kansas City. We worked together for a while. Him and his dad, they went to the Chiefs game every single Sunday, right? It wasn't just a fun time for him. It was a family. It was a family investment, right? It was what they treasured. They treasured that experience. They treasured that time together, right? He wasn't a Christian. This was his kind of ritual that he did every week. And it was what he talked about all the time, right? He actually has a YouTube channel talking about football because it's what he treasures. And so out of what our treasure is, right, that's what's going to go into our heart, and out of that is what we're going to bring forth. And so our verse here, Jesus is saying, give and it will be measured back to you. What is the measure of our giving? Right? How does God determine our blessing? What do you think? Luke 6, verse 33. Verse 38. Give, and it will be given to you. So, the first word is give, right? The measure is according to our giving. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. When I was 16 years old, I got my first, it wasn't my first job, my paper route was my first job, but one of my first jobs was working at Quiznos, making sandwiches, right? I really actually enjoyed that job because I love Quiznos Honey Bacon Club. But my boss, he was from Korea, and he was my favorite boss ever because every 2 weeks he would put down our time schedule, and then underneath of that he would put down one good thing that we're doing and one thing that we need to work on. And you always knew where you stood with him. I really appreciated that. But whenever he was making sandwiches, or we were making sandwiches together, he would take this handful of lettuce, right? So he'd ask him, what meat do you want? You know, and he'd put a tiny little bit of meat, you know, because he's the owner and a little bit stingy, right? Because meat's expensive. So he'd put the meat on there, then he'd put the cheese on there, and then he'd say, okay, do you want lettuce? And they'd say, yeah, I'll take a little bit of lettuce, you know. And he would take the biggest handful that he could get of lettuce, and he'd stick it on that sandwich, and he'd press it down as hard as he could. Then he'd go in for another handful of lettuce, and he'd stick it down there, and he'd put that one down, and then he'd pull the bread over the top of it, and he'd squeeze it together. And most of the sandwich was just lettuce, right? I'd say, hey, don't do that. No wonder we're not selling any salads. You guys, you're giving away a salad with every single sandwich, right? But that's what God says he wants to do. He wants to press it down, good measure, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Right? It's the idea of planting and harvesting. How much seed do you have to plant if you want a good harvest? Can you plant half the field and expect a full harvest? Does that work? Can you just throw a few seeds out there in the field and say, okay, that ought to do it, right? No, if you want a full harvest, you got to plant the whole seed, right? You got to plant seed throughout the whole field. And so God says, give, and it will be given back to you. Now, the next one we want to talk about is Luke 12:33. Luke 12:33 says, you got it pulled up? Nope. That's all right. I could turn over here. Luke 12:33. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens which does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. Here, Jesus challenges us to give, to exchange money for heavenly treasure. Give to exchange money for heavenly treasure. How many of you have heard that old phrase, you can't take it with you, right? You can load up all your stuff behind the hearse, but you can't take it with you. But here's what this scripture says. You can send it in advance, right? You can't take it with you, but you can send it in advance. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens which does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It is a treasure that does not fail. Now, how many of you guys were able to pick up some good deals a couple of days ago or this weekend? I got a good deal on a watch I bought for my own Christmas present. Thank you, honey. I got it online. It was a really good deal on Samsung, not at Walmart. But how long do those things that we buy on a whim, we go in and, oh, hey, honey, look at this thing that we've never seen before, you know, that's marked down 90%, right? And we get it. How long does it last? You know, and the kids open it, they play with it one time and it's broken. Treasure that does not fail. We see a lot of things that fail today. I want to read this story about a farmer. It says, there was a farmer who was called upon to give money to a Christian cause, and he promptly drew a check for $10,000. He wanted the person who was coming out to receive the money. They went out and had dinner together, and after they had dined, the farmer took the man out on the veranda and he pointed to the rich land sweeping far away, laden with rich products. He said, look over these lands, said the farmer. They are all mine. And he took them to the pasture and showed the man the choice stock, the fine horses he had. And then he pointed to a little town, and then to a large hall where he lived. And he drew himself up, and his face lit up with pride as he said, they are all mine. I came here as a poor boy, and I have earned all that you see. And then he got through asking his friend. He says, what? When he got through, his friend asked him and said, well, what do you have up yonder? Where? The farmer replied, evidently not knowing what he meant. He said, what do you have up in heaven? Well, the farmer said, I haven't anything there. What? Replied my friend. You, a man of discretion, wisdom, business ability, have no provision for you, have made no provision for your future? And he hadn't. And a few weeks later, he died. A rich man here and a beggar in eternity. A man may be wise in the eyes of the world to pursue this course, but he is a fool in the sight of God. Wealth to most men proves nothing more or less than a great rock upon which their eternity is wrecked. Wealth to most men proves nothing more or less than a great rock upon which their eternity is wrecked. Treasure that doesn't fail. Give, and you will exchange your money on earth for reward and riches in heaven. I want to close with this illustration about where your treasure is reveals your heart. There was a great newspaper publisher in the early part of the 20th century, William Randolph Hearst. He was a great collector of art. He spent a lot of his money, his company's money, his company's fortune. He owned a lot of newspapers, magazines, even some movie studios for a short time. During the 1920s and 1930s, it is estimated that he had up to 25% of the world's art market, a ton of art. The story is told one day that he found a description of an artwork that he just had to own. And so he sent his agent abroad, overseas, to find out and to purchase it and to bring it back. The agent searched for months for this artwork overseas, looking to buy it. Finally, the agent reported back that he had found the treasured object and that it was very close to home. Where was it? It was in his warehouse with the many other treasures that he owned that were still in crates he'd never opened. The great Hearst had been searching for a treasure that he had already owned. Such is the power of wealth that it blinds us to the treasures that we already have and focuses us on obtaining more without appreciating what we have. You know, the reality is we have so much. And I'm not talking about material things. We do have a lot of material things. But we have access directly to go into the throne room of God, the Creator, and to ask. And He promises that He will be with us, that He will go with us, that He will provide for us. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, what a blessing it is to be able to know that we are Your children. Lord, when we get up in the morning, we have the opportunity to serve You. Lord, there is no other greater blessing than that. And it is true that when we set our mind on the things that are on this earth, even sometimes we do it with the right heart. Maybe we want to encourage other people. But Lord, when we take our mind off of You and we take our mind off of heavenly things and we set them on earthly things, we cheapen our experience here on this earth. We miss out. And Lord, what greater fruit can we provide on this earth than the fruit of dwelling and walking with Your Spirit, which will bring those things which we want so badly, which Satan often tries to think to get us to fool us, to think that we can get them through our flesh. But it is through, only through the Spirit. And Lord, I pray that as we think about our rich inheritance, Lord, our greatest inheritance is our eternal life. The life that You shed on the cross, that You bore our sins so that we could have righteousness. We are guilty sinners, and yet we can say we are clean and pure because of what You have done. There is nothing more greater than that. And so, Lord, I pray that in our thought process, in our attitude, in our purpose, Lord, that we would be reminded to focus in on You and Your great love And out of that, have a desire to give for your honor and your glory and your work in this world. And Lord, that we would give in obedience and desire to honor and please you. This time we'd have the elders come forward. We're going to have communion together. And we want to just take a few moments in silent prayer as we prepare our hearts.